Exactly 80 years ago, the Red Army was advancing at full speed towards Berlin after having broken through the German defenses on the Vistula. Faced with the total collapse of the Eastern Front and the threat to which the capital of the Reich was increasingly exposed, one of the worst possible decisions was made and Himmler was appointed commander-in-chief of Army Group Vistula. His mission was to halt the Soviet advance and therefore prevent the Red Army from getting any closer to Berlin. With this appointment, the German leader intended that Himmler would carry out all his orders without complaint and that he would apply very harsh measures against his own troops so that no soldier would retreat to the West. As Hitler intended, his subordinate did everything he was ordered to do, but it was not enough to stop the advance. Zhukov's advance. The most desperate measure launched by the Germans to prevent the Soviets from approaching Berlin was the so-called Operation Sostis, which we will now analyze in depth. It all began when, on January 12, 1945, the Soviets attacked on the Vistula front and quickly broke through the German defenses. This frantic advance through Poland brought them to within just 70 kilometers of Berlin by early February. However, this penetration had not been carried out equally along the entire front line, and this left the right flank of the 1st Belorussian Front, commanded by Zhukov, completely exposed to a German attack. So, faced with this situation, Zhukov began to debate with his generals what the best decision to make was: to continue towards a Berlin that at that time was undefended, as Zhukov wanted, or to secure the conquered territory and consolidate his flanks. While this series of meetings were taking place, on February 6, Stalin telephoned Zhukov to ask him what they were doing. After Marshal Zhukov had explained the situation to him, Stalin told him to stop messing around and attack northward in support of Rokossovsky's 2nd Belorussian Front. Furthermore, in the Soviet rear, the Germans were still holding out in Courland and now also in East Prussia. General Guderian, who had been chief of the General Staff of the Army High Command since July 1944, had been demanding the complete evacuation of Courland for many months and now also requested that a corridor be kept open in Pomerania to allow the German units still in East Prussia to escape. His intention now was to concentrate all these troops in order to launch a major counterattack from Pomerania in a southern direction with the aim of cutting off the Soviet vanguard. This was also intended to halt the Soviet advance on Berlin, which the Germans believed was imminent. On the other hand, Himmler was depressed by the situation and now found himself in the role of having to continually inform Hitler of the failures he was experiencing on the battlefield. This made him increasingly unpopular in Hitler's eyes and their relationship began to cool considerably. In an attempt to gain the German leader's trust and regain prominence, Himmler kept talking about imminent counterattacks that his troops would carry out, although without specifying any in particular. This led to a meeting that took place in early February in which Guderian proposed launching this offensive, which required the evacuation of Klandia and Eastern Prus and also required the presence of the 6th SS Panzer Army that had just left the Ardennes. The idea was a pincer attack against the vanguard of the 1st Belorussian Front that would completely cut it off. The northern pincer would start from Pomerania and the southern pincer from the sector near Kustrin on the Oder. The meeting between Hitler and Guderian went as follows. "You must believe me when I tell you that it is not obsession that drives me to propose with such determination the evacuation of Courland. I can think of no other way that we could possibly have of accumulating reserves without which we have no hope of defending the capital. I assure you that I am motivated by nothing other than the interests of Germany." Guderian said to Hitler, "How dare you speak to me in that way?" Hitler shouted at him, "I am not fighting for Germany. My whole life has been nothing but one long battle for Germany. From this point on, the conversation between the two men became more tense until they managed to calm down and came to the conclusion that it was the best option they had. However, this operation would be launched with far fewer troops than Guderian had requested, since neither the total evacuation of Courland nor of East Prussia was approved, nor would the 6th Panzer Army be sent to the new front on the Oder. Likewise, it should be noted that even if it had been approved, it would not have been possible to have these units ready in Pomerania to participate in the offensive, since the attack was about to begin imminently. Guderian also requested that Himmler not be the commander leading the attack and instead propose General B.K. Himmler, for his part, was unable to assert his point of view and the situation was completely beyond him. He knew that he did not have enough men, ammunition or fuel to carry out the operation demanded of him, but he had no choice but to obey the order if he did not want to displease Hitler. At this point, Himmler still had Hitler's full sympathy and this was reflected in the German leader's defense of him when Guderian kept insisting that Himmler be suspended from his military post. The conversation was as follows. Hitler stated that Himmler was sufficient to bear the brunt of the attack on his own. The SS General Staff does not have the necessary experience or a General Staff competent enough to control the attack without help. Therefore, the presence of General B is essential, replied Guderian. I will not allow you to tell me that Himmler is incapable of fulfilling his duty, Hitler ended up shouting. Finally, after further discussions, Hitler agreed to let Ben help Himmler lead the offensive. On paper, the number of troops assigned to this operation was astonishing, since it was supposed to include around 100 tanks. The reality, however, was far from being the case and most of them could not be transported to Pomerania and those that were finally able to participate did not have the necessary ammunition or gasoline. Let us remember that the great offensive that was being prepared at that time was the one that began a few weeks later at Lake Balaton, which aimed to defend the capital of Hungary and the last sources of oil of the Third Reich. The unit tasked with carrying out this mission was the 11th SS Panzer Army, commanded by the famous General Felix Steiner, which was made up of 11 divisions, 7 of which were panzer divisions. Again, don't be fooled by the name, as the total for this operation was no more than 300 tanks of all types with fuel and ammunition for just a few days of combat. The units that were finally available for this more limited offensive, which was to attack along a front of about 55 kilometers and integrated into the 11th SS Panzer Army, were the following. The right flank was formed by the 39th Panzer Corps, consisting of the Holstein Panzer Division, formed just a few days before, the 10th SS Panzer Division Frontsberg, the 4th SS Division Polis and the 28th SS Volunteer Grenadier Division Bolonian, the latter commanded by General Leon von Grell. This army corps would attack from the area surrounding the city of Stadgar and head south towards the town of Dallas. Its approximate armored strength is estimated at around 200 tanks and fighters between the four divisions, of which at least 53 Panthers and more than 80 Panther IVs. At the center of the German forces was the 3rd SS Panzer Corps, commanded by General Martin Arnein, composed of the 11th SS Grenadier Division Norland, reinforced with at least 12 Tiger IIs from the 503rd SS Heavy Tank Battalion, the 6th SS Grenadier Division Netherland Volunteers, the 6th SS Grenadier Division Langemar Volunteers, and the Panzer Division 3rd Belgrade. Of all these units, the most striking is the last, which was an elite German unit whose original task had been to escort Hitler on his visits to sectors close to the front. The 3rd Panzer Corps of the CSS, located right in the center of the German deployment, would attack south to the present-day town of Chosno and after bypassing it would turn southwest. Finally, on the left flank was Munzel's Army Corps with 2 infantry divisions, the 163rd and 281 Stone, a tank destroyer brigade and the Fire Grenadier Brigade. The latter unit had been born from the military detachment that defended Hitler's headquarters in East Prus, known as the Wolf's Lair. Facing them were the Soviet 35th and 61st Guards armies that would sell their hides dearly. February 16, 1945 marked the beginning of Operation Sustis led by General Felix Steiner with the ambitious objective of advancing from their positions in Pomerania towards Chostrin to cut the Soviet supply lines. The aim was for his 11th SS Panzer Army to advance some 70 kilometers south and crush the rear of the 1st Belarusian Front. The attack began in adverse weather conditions with muddy terrain due to thaw and intermittent rain. The German divisions achieved some initial successes with the Holstein Panzer Division and the Frontzberg Division defeating 2 Soviet brigades, forcing them to retreat south. However, despite this advance, Soviet resistance with T-34/85 tanks complicated operations and the German divisions failed to encircle the enemy troops as planned. In the central sector, the 3rd SS Panzer Corps, reinforced by powerful Tiger IIs, achieved a penetration of between 8 and 12 kilometers, reaching the vicinity of Asfald. However, the advance was slowed by the muddy terrain. The arrival of Soviet reinforcements, including the feared 122mm S2 tanks and guns, further hampered the German advance. On the other hand, Munzel's Army Corps on the German left flank fared the worst, running into solid Soviet defensive positions, leaving it virtually paralyzed and exposing the left flank of the 3rd SS Panzer Corps to possible Soviet counterattacks. By the end of the day, German advances were less than expected and with the arrival of Soviet reinforcements, the situation for the following days looked complicated. The offensive, although initially surprising, failed to achieve its planned objectives due to the difficult terrain and organized Soviet resistance. On the 17th of February, German forces resumed the attack, making some minimal gains. Although the terrain and Soviet resistance again slowed their progress, the Norland and Police divisions made the greatest progress, capturing Arwald and Dahlis respectively. However, they failed to link up due to the arrival of the 2nd Guards Tank Army, which halted the offensive. German forces, including several Tiger IIs, repelled the Soviet attacks while allowing civilians to evacuate through a small escape corridor. The offensive gradually began to stall, leading Hitler to receive a gloomy report from General Bank. Shortly afterwards, B suffered a car accident that incapacitated him, leaving General Hans Kriff in charge of the operation. Bad weather, muddy terrain, and Soviet reinforcements further complicated the situation for the Germans, and the offensive began to fall apart. Himmler, sensing imminent failure, fell ill and withdrew from command, relinquishing direction of the offensive altogether. By the 18th of February, the German offensive had lost momentum, and they were forced to adopt a defensive position throughout. That same day, the German command decided to cancel the operation, arguing that they wanted to avoid unnecessary wear and tear on their troops, as fuel and ammunition shortages were severely affecting the 11th Panzer Army of the CSS. In the meantime, the Soviet forces that had received reinforcements intensified their pressure on the small German salient. Following the Yalta Conference on the 11th of February, Stalin instructed Zhukov and Rokossovsky to attack northwards with the aim of encircling the German troops in Pomerania. Zhukov launched his offensive on the 19th of February, heading towards Sedan using the 61st Armies and the 2nd Guards Tank Armies. The town of Asbald remained a focus of German resistance, but General Joachim Siegel of the Norland Division decided to evacuate it to avoid Soviet encirclement. On the 20th of February, German troops managed to get civilians and wounded out of Asbald thanks to the efforts of the Norland soldiers, who held a corridor open for as long as possible. German forces began to retreat to defensive positions further north as the Soviets intensified their advance. Zhukhori then resumed his attack, and by early March, the Soviet 19th Army reached Kahlberg and isolated the German troops at Danzig. In strategic terms, Operation Solstice, although it failed in its primary objective of annihilating Zhukov's troops, succeeded in temporarily delaying the Soviet advance towards Berlin. This gave the Germans time to strengthen their defenses along the Oder River and prepare a more prolonged resistance in the immediate vicinity of Berlin. Some historians, such as Christopher Duffy, argue that this operation helped delay the fall of Berlin by several months, although the debate about whether Berlin could have fallen in February or not is still ongoing. In short, Operation Solstice failed to fulfill its original purpose of inflicting a significant defeat on the Soviets, but it did succeed in slowing their advance and forcing Zhukov and Rokossovsky to focus their efforts in Pomerania before continuing on their way to Berlin. Well, would you like to continue analyzing the 7 offensives launched by the German army on the Eastern Front during 1945? Well, here they are in my book, whose link with the corresponding discount I will leave in the description. I will also leave you the program about the Battle of Custrin, which was basically the one that came next. Greetings to everyone and see you next Sunday.